You are stuck with me. We're in the book of Galatians, chapter 3. Galatians, chapter 3. Why would you ever want a law-based option, if it were, it's not, to try to make your way to heaven? The law is just absolutely an impossible taskmaster. And the question is asked in Galatians chapter 3, why then serveth the law? Why would you ever? And that's the title of the message this evening. Why would you ever want to do that? The theme of the Galatians is salvation by God's grace through faith and trust in Jesus Christ, not the law. It is not the law. The law won't get you there. Let's look at chapter 1, verse 6. We'll read three verses. I marvel that ye are so soon, we're in the first century still, removed. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is still raw. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him, Christ, that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Why would you get the gospel and then pervert it and not give that to someone else, or give something to them that is doesn't exist, which is not another? And there's the frustration in verse 7. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And I love verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. If you're in Sunday school this morning, especially if you're in Brother Parsons' Sunday school class, I was in Brother Parsons' Sunday school class. I don't know what the guys did in the auditorium, but Brother Parsons reminded us that there will come a time when men will do miracles, and reminded us that in Pharaoh's time, that when Pharaoh did the first three, that the unsaved, ungodly rulers of Egypt were able to mirror those. I just say that and emphasize that again, because there are a lot of people that look for spectacular stuff out there on the internet and are amazed by men. If it were possible that even the elect would be turned away from the truth. Now, here's some folks that are turned away from the truth. Now, let's turn to chapter 3, verse 19. Let's read the text this evening. We're in verse 19 through the end of the chapter through verse 29. Verse 19 of Galatians chapter 3. Wherefore then serveth the law? Why would you ever do that? It was added because of transgressions. Till, that's a key word there. You like to circle or underline or highlight. Till is a tipping point. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. You've heard me say this over the years. If you know another way of salvation other than by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, then you know something God doesn't know. And Paul is saying that here, if it is possible that righteousness could have been by the law, then Christ would not have died. If that were possible, it would be by the law. But it wasn't, and it's not. And so Christ died. Verse 22, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, We are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is no difference. We know from Romans chapter 10, there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. There is neither Jew nor Greek, verse 28 says, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male or female. Hey guys, there is no male superiority. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Why would you ever want to go back to another way? Why would you want to do that? Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts this evening. We'd understand and appreciate the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The salvation that we have. The glorious gift. And as we were reminded this morning, as you taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, and may we strive to be obedient to thy will be done. Well, thank you for what you do tonight. As we look to your word, in Jesus Christ's name, amen. So why was the law added? The giving of the law, verse 19, why was it added? It was added because of transgression. Did sin exist before the law? Absolutely. Book of Romans chapter 5, verse 13. Book of Romans chapter 5, verse 13 says, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Sin can be traced to where? To the Garden of Eden. You can trace it back further than that if you want to trace the fall of Satan and the rebellion. And sin existed. Romans chapter 7, verse 7 says, for he that is dead is freed. No, that's 6. Let me find 7. There it is. verse 7 of chapter 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? No. God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. I'm a rules guy. Anybody that hangs around me knows that I'm a rules guy. I look at the rules. I read the rules. I understand the rules. I want to know what the rules are. Mrs. Bishop is more of a free spirit. And so that's why the two of us are together. So when we go someplace and it says no trespassing, she thinks there's an exemption clause down there for her, except for her, and she should be able to go by the sign. And I explained to her the rule, the law. I've read it. I know what the penalties are. I know how long you're going to spend in jail. I know what they're going to do when they come and arrest you. And I go through all of that, and she goes, I wish I were with the kids and not with you, or something to that effect. And because she... You get what I mean. The law is there. And I want to know what the rules say. And I want to make sure that I'm in obedience to those rules. Am I perfect? I am not at all whatsoever. You know my driving record from a couple of weeks ago. Mrs. Bishop was out of town, so she has no idea that I've shared all her and our tickets that we've gotten over the years. Parking. Tickets, I should add to that. Now, what does the law do? It reveals sin. Why? Because the law can't get you to heaven. It can only help you to see what you are. The law is a mirror that shows you who you are and... So Rick came in tonight, and I want you to know he came right by Nelson. And Rick did not have a mirror, but Rick had a problem. Rick needed a mirror, because when he walked in the when he walked in church tonight, he was like this. And if he'd looked at a mirror, he would have said, that not right, and he would have done this. if he could get his hand that high. Thank you, Theo. But he didn't. But I looked at him and I said, hold on, Rick, now I had my hands full. Nelson did not have his hand full, but Nelson wasn't helping. Nelson, is this a right testimony here? Nelson back there, he's smiling. And so I put my Bible under my arm. I put the microphone under my arm, put my Bible between my legs, and I reached up and I fixed Rick's collar, and what did I say? I'm a true friend. As opposed to Nelson, who is going to let you walk by. And this is what Nelson said. I didn't see it. Nelson and I go a long ways back with that. And you can ask him about that after the service. What he did to me, you can ask him. And we'll not put that on tape this evening. The law is a mirror that helps you see yourself. What does it do? Helps you to see your collar, but it's not going to help you fix it. You can try to fix it yourself. Or if you got a friend, you can get your friend to help you. Helps you to see rogue hairs that are sticking in there that you can't see any other way. It's not going to pull the hair for you. If your daughter is Caitlin, she'll pull the hair for you. She'll say, Dad, you are an embarrassment to nature. Come here. And she'll whack it. And she'll cut it. I mean, she pulls it. She pulls it. The law reveals sin. The law does not remove sin. Again, the text says, verse 21, is the law then against the promises of God? No. God forbid. For if there had been a law, and there isn't, it can't. The law will never, the mirror will never take away the problem. It'll help you to see all kinds of things. If we're out to dinner together, and you're having cream of corn soup, and a kernel of corn falls off your spoon and sticks to your chin, I will not sit there across the table for 45 minutes while everybody walks by and laughs at you. Now, I'm not going to say, hey, everybody, they got corn on their chin. Check this out. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to stop eating and I'm going to look at you until you notice that I am staring at you. And then I'm going to go, and you're going to go, Thank you. That's just, a friend is going to help you to see that. The mirror is not the enemy. Oh, there he goes. The mirror is not the enemy. The mirror is your friend. The mirror can't fix your problem. It can only show you where the problem is. How long? How long is the mirror necessary? Verse 19 says, till the seed should come. Till the seed should come. We should not need this to show us. Now, if you're a man tonight, you might disagree with that just a little bit. Because if you go down to the men's room right now, there is not one of those, and I don't want to say it, because then that's his key word to go moving again. There is not one of those on the wall, because Theo has it. Theo is your friend. He's going to show you what you really look like to help you realize that, not because he hates you. Preacher doesn't hate you. Sunday school teacher doesn't hate you. Hey, teens, your parents don't hate you. They want to help you see yourself as others see you, and as more importantly, as God sees you. Till the seed come, Moses was the mediator. He helped them. He was the in-between. He helped them until that promise was given. USS Tang, interesting history in World War II. It sunk a submarine. USS T-A-N-G, Tang, sunk 33 enemy vessels in World War II. It had a storied history of success. It was an enforcer of the law. It did not help you see what you were. You were what you were. It was judgment day when it caught you in its sights. 33 vessels went to the bottom of the ocean as a result of their efforts. On September 24th, 1944, got a couple people out there that are looking this up on their phones as I say this to see how accurate I am. That's okay. That's okay. Dustin wanted me to give a disclaimer from this morning. He said, Pastor, I wasn't fact-checking you. I just wanted to do some more reading on this. Dustin was fact-checking me in a good way. About 1944, it's September 24th, and the USS Tang left for their fifth tour. They left from Midway Island, and they headed out into the ocean. On the night of October 24th, they raised a periscope and they saw a fleet of enemy vessels on the surface. And so they did something that was very dangerous and very daring. They surfaced and engaged in combat. They sunk several vessels that night. Their weapon was a Mark 18 electric torpedo. And they let one fly. And it malfunctioned. And it turned back towards them. And it hit the torpedo room. And because they were on the surface, some of them had an opportunity to escape. Out of 87 sailors that night, 9 survived. Those that were outside on top were knocked into the water, and they survived. They went on to be at prisoner of war camps for the remainder of World War II. Those that were down beneath, those in the torpedo room, perished instantly. Now you can say it was a malfunction, and it was. That torpedo circled back and hit them. And you could say, my sin is a mistake. And we'll all agree with you, it was a mistake. But if you mistake thinking that you can get to heaven by your works, it is a fatal mistake. And when you make that fatal mistake, not only do you perish, but those who are following you and listening to you, which is why God had Paul write to the church at Galatia to say to them, listen, you were saved by grace, but now you're turning away from that grace and mixing it with the law. That is no grace. That is not the gospel. And you are dooming people to eternity without hope. Now, if the captain of this vessel had done this on purpose, with malice aforethought, we would have condemned him in history. But he did not do it on purpose. It wasn't even his fault. It was a malfunction. But the results were the same. And you can go through life saying, I'm not going to embrace grace. I'm not going to tell people about grace. I'm going to mix grace up. I'm going to try to invent another gospel, another way to heaven. You may do it in innocence, you may do it in malice, you may do it in ignorance. The result is the same. Because the law cannot save. Again, verse 21, is the law against the promises of God? No, it's not the law that's the problem. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Righteousness is not by the law. Righteousness is by Jesus Christ. The law cannot give life. Keep your finger here. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. Just a couple of pages back. 2 Corinthians 3:7, but if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? The law was a ministration of death. Now that is gloom and doom. The law does not negate or annul the promises of God. We saw that in verse 21. Again, God forbid there had been a law, but there is not. It could not. It's not possible. If it were, then salvation would have been by the law. The death, burial, and resurrection would not have been required, but it cannot. The law cannot save. The law cannot give life. The law only condemns and reveals, because the law is a mirror. That enables you to see yourself as God sees you. The promise by faith is of Jesus Christ given. Notice verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be, what's the next word? We're in verse 22. We're in Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 22 again. I'm going to stop, and you're going to tell me the next word. Ready? But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Note, it does not say given to them that keep the law. It does not say that, because the law cannot save. Acts chapter 15, verse 10 says, Peter speaking, "Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" What would you do that? Why would you do that? And the law is unforgiving. And law enforcers are also subject to the law. In the book of Matthew, it says this, "And many shall say to me that day, Lord, Lord, did not we do many mighty works? Did not we cast out devils? And the Lord will say, Depart from me, I never knew you." Because if you can claim to be a minister, but if you are not receiving by faith, through grace, the gift of God, which is eternal life, that same law will come back and condemn you. So the ministers out there that are promoting, doing, trying to help, trying to do good things in order to gain heaven are in trouble. Because the mirror shows they've got a sin problem, and only Christ can give that solution. The mirror is your friend. Even in Kentucky, Letcher County Sheriff was in the news this week. Do you see that, Bob? Letcher County Sheriff, the top law enforcement officer of Letcher County. And the judge was overseeing a case. And the sheriff, who's one of the few people besides the deputies, "I can't walk into the courthouse with a weapon. Concealed or open." But he could, because he is a chief law enforcement officer. He could walk into the judge's chambers. I have never been in the judge's chambers. I've been always on that side of the desk. I've never been behind the desk. I don't know what's back there. I've only seen pictures of what's back there. But the sheriff, he's got the swipe card, and he can go anywhere he wants. And he did. He went to the back, and he went into the judge's chambers, and he decided to give the judge a piece of his mind. But just let me say, it is never a good idea to give the judge a piece of your mind, especially if he is hearing a case that he's going to rule against you or for you. That's never a good idea. But he did. He went back there, and apparently the judge was not moved by his impassioned plea. So the sheriff, the top dog in Letcher County, Kentucky, took out his service weapon and filled the judge full of lead. What do you think happened when the mirror shined upon the sheriff? Now, you're exactly right. His next picture, as the deputies, the people that were under him, came running into the room because they heard gunfire, come running into the room, and here's the judge dead, and here's the sheriff with a smoking gun in his hand. They arrested their boss. The deputies arrested the sheriff, and they took him down. They took him out of his uniform. They put him in purple scrubs, prison scrubs, and took his picture. And there, in his picture, he stands defiant. That is not a good plan. That is not a good plan. What is he? He's condemned. Law enforcement needs salvation. That's why the preachers need salvation. That's why God said to them when they said, hey, we've done this and this and this and this and this. God said, it doesn't matter what you have done. It is a matter of what you have received. And there is no difference between, verse 28, Jew or Greek, bond or free. It doesn't matter if you're the sheriff or the deputy. It doesn't matter if you're the sheriff or the accused. It's a real problem when you are the sheriff and the accused. But the law is not going to help you. The law is going to reveal who you are. And again, you can follow Christian circles. You can try to live a good life. You can try to do the right thing. You can try to dress right, talk right, be right, treat people right, tell people their collar is up when they come into church. But if you've not received Christ, not received the gift, there is no law that can grant to you grace and salvation. What does the law do? The law brings sinners to Christ. Justification, just as if we had not sinned, is a finished work of Christ. And I am thankful for the gift. Why would anyone want to be under the law, under that system? It is impossible. The schoolmaster educates and constantly monitors the boys until they're coming of age. It mentions a schoolmaster here in Galatians chapter 3. It is a schoolmaster. In the medical community, Mrs. Bishop will tell you, when it comes to shots, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's her philosophy. When it comes to getting a shot, I go, I hold her hand, she cries, and I say, it's going to be okay. If you don't cry, I'll give you a lollipop when you're done. She just detests them. Listen, this girl has no problem stabbing you. Better to stab than to be stabbed. She doesn't want to be stabbed. When it comes to school, it is a whole lot more fun to be the teacher and give tests than is to take a test. Do we have anybody in the room that are test takers? You just love to take a good old-fashioned test. And that is not me. I don't mind going to school. I don't mind sitting in the class. It's the taskmaster, schoolmaster test thing that I write a paper. I'd rather write sentences. I will not talk in class than to have to take a test. The law is our schoolmaster. It teaches valuable lessons concerning sin and sinfulness and holiness, the finished work of Christ. But it brings us to the only solution, and that is the cross of Jesus Christ. Sadly, many people, the Jewish people, have rejected the Savior. Today, their temple has been destroyed, and they've been scattered all over the world. There's no temple, there's no altar, there's no priesthood, no sacrifice, there's no king, there is no peace. What should be the result? It should cause them to see Christ. The law, man's guilt. The law destroys hope. The law shows our misery. And the law points to the only solution, Jesus Christ. I love submarines. I love the tour of them. I'd love to take a ride on one. If anybody owns one, I'm not looking to go down and see the Titanic. Not one of those two-person ones, okay? Something big, something impressive. If you can set that up for me, pull a few strings with your high power position there. I'd love to take a ride on a submarine. So, I love the drama and the closeness and the tightness and everybody working together. And so a submarine commander lifts his periscope up and looks around and he sees the enemy vessel and a term, plot me a solution. What does he need? I need a solution for the torpedo that I have to sail through the water and hit the enemy vessel. And it is rocket science. It waves and currents and speed and velocity and speed of the vessel and the angle of attack, all those things, and the angle of the fish in the water. It is all part of the solution. And so the term, plot me a solution, the firing solution, winded. If you're a shooter and you do long-range shooting, if you're a sniper and that bullet's got to go way out, you've got to take into advantage the curvature of the earth, the wind speed as it's going across, the drop, the velocity of the bullet, friction, all that stuff, and how it's going to affect that as it curves through the air, or you're going to miss your target. And if you're off by just a fraction of a degree, you're going to miss. If you're a golfer, I'm not a golfer, if you hit that ball and the ball goes up in the air, you'll see a golfer every once in a while, he'll reach down on the ground and he'll grab some grass and put it in the air. Say, what is he doing? He's looking for windage. Why? Because the golfer wants to plot a solution. Every weapon, every baseball player, every golfer, they need a solution, speed, distance, angle, or they're going to miss the target. General Mark Milley, U.S. Army, in addressing the China balloons that were flying over the northern part of our country, I think spying on your parents and the family over there to see what they were, your wife's parents seeing what they were up to, and then finally over Lake Huron, they dispatched a F-16 to shoot down the balloon. Now, just me, but it just seems like if a balloon is flying slowly in the air and you've got an F-16 with advanced weaponry that with computers that help you plot a solution, you should be able to hit a balloon in the air. But they missed. The first shot missed. Now, I'm here to tell you, a Michigan guy, Lake Huron, over here, as you're looking at the mitten, they said the missile harmlessly landed in Lake Huron. Well, praise the Lord. Why did you miss? I took them two shots to hit a balloon. Now that's kind of humorous. And we laugh about that. When it comes to heaven, you plot the wrong solution, and you're off by 1 degree, and nothing to laugh about. You plot a solution for your family, and God's got to write you a letter that says, foolish Galatians, you've had the truth, and you're not being good stewards of that with others. You plot your own solution in eternity and you miss. And your kids miss. And your parents miss. And your friends miss. Because you plotted a wrong solution. You will not harmlessly fall into eternity. And there will be collateral damage. Your family and friends will tell the tale of your dishonesty to the gospel message. Will you bow your heads? Close your eyes. Sin is to miss the mark. Many in our world are trying to plot their own solution. The law is important, because it reveals our utter helplessness. I'm thankful for salvation by grace. You're here this evening, you do not know God's grace. You've never received His salvation. You've been trying to plot your own solution. You're amiss. Some miss by a little, some miss by a lot. It doesn't really matter. To miss is catastrophic. Pastor, I'm here. I don't know Jesus Christ. Would you pray for me? Slip your hand up. Hold it up. Let me remember you in prayer. Christian, the second message in Galatians is this. You've trusted God by grace for salvation. But you think you're going to live daily life without God's grace to help you every step of the way? It's not going to happen. I need God's grace every day. Why? Because I'm married. Because I'm a father. Because I'm a pastor. Because I drive a car. I need God's help and God's grace every day to live the Christian life. And on the day, you mark this down, frightening to have to say this, but on the day that I decide that I no longer need God's grace, that is the day I'm going to fall. And you will be no different than I. Stand to our feet, our head bowed and eyes closed. The piano is playing. You obey as God speaks to your heart. The altar's open. Be glad to pray for you. You obey as God speaks.